Thank you, Alistair.
Oops. The reading this morning is John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. And in the NIV, in the pew, it's on page 1085. And I think it may be shown as well. Is it going to be shown? Yes, it is. Okay. And it's actually entitled, very apt, Jesus Prays for All Believers. So that's you and me. So let's get on and see what Jesus prayed about for you and I. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, and they may be one as we are one, that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them.
Thank you, Alistair. You always choose a friend to read a really difficult passage to read. So we get to the end of our series today. We've been thinking about this theme, we must get out more. We must get out more with our message about Jesus. And our theme today is, so pray. We began this series by remembering that we must get out more because of John 3, 16 to 18. Let me remind you of those verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. What that's essentially saying in a nutshell is that we must get out more because those who are far away from God need to know that on the cross Jesus made it possible to be close to God and saved from sin. Why is that important? Because God is a holy God, a pure God, a perfect God. And sin is the exact opposite to the nature of God, the going against his will. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And falling short of the glory of God is sin. Being less than God has created us to be. But he doesn't leave us alone in that sin. He gives us the opportunity to turn back to him. Jesus is the one who comes to offer that opportunity. And we who have discovered the love of Jesus have placed upon us by Jesus the responsibility to go out wherever we can and to share the love of Jesus in such a way that others will choose to be his followers. Jesus said to his disciples just before the ascension, after the resurrection, he said, "In a few days, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." But first of all, in Jerusalem, where you are. That's the place we're called to be. And so we've been thinking about various things in relation to this. We've said we must get out more, so be witnesses. Be those who testify to Jesus, who tell of what we have come to know and understand of Jesus. Connect with other people so that we can be sharing that in positive and fruitful relationships. Relationships that are real and genuine and ongoing. But we should serve those with whom we're in relationship and serve those perhaps with whom we're not in relationship as a means of entering that relationship. Community life in this country is not always good. We just have to think how many of the names, the first names of our neighbours we know. If you're in a typical street, not on a corner, or at the end of the street, you'll be one of six doors. Yours, the one next door, the one next door the other way, the two over the road from them, and the one immediately opposite you. How many of the Christian names, the first names of those people, do you know? Connect and serve. Where there's a need, as Christians, we should be serving. Not just so that people will think, oh, aren't Christians wonderful, but just because it's what Jesus would have done. And be ready to share. We're told that we should be prepared so that when we're asked for the reason for the hope that's within us, in other words, why are you doing this? We could say, well, it's because I'm a Jesus follower and this is what Jesus followers do. And we need to grow in our relationship with God, and we need to help others grow in their relationship with God. Be witnesses, connect, serve, share, grow. And today, pray in especially big letters. And there in that passage that Alistair brought for us, we read these words: "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." In other words, Jesus is praying. And remember, the moment, the time in which Jesus is praying. This is Gethsemane. This is just before Jesus is betrayed. It is just before Jesus is taken captive. It is just before he is taken to be tortured. It is the night before he is crucified. And core to the content of his prayer, John tells us, is a prayer that his followers may be so close to him that people around them will come to believe that God has sent Jesus into the world for themselves. That's a prayer that Jesus prayed for you. And we're told Jesus intercedes at the Father's right hand eternally. So I think it's a fair bet that that's what he's still praying. That's his prayer for you. Jesus is praying for you. It's not just about you praying to Jesus. Jesus is, it is promised, praying for you. In your situation. With more insight of your situation than you perhaps have. Now, I realise that there will be those who are sitting there, you know, arms folded. Sorry for those of you who have got your arms folded. So people immediately sort of unfolding their arms. You're all right, you're a visitor, sir, so you're not included. But, oh, Pastor, I'd have thought we'd have begun with prayer. Isn't that the first and most important thing? Well, yes. But I do it now so that we have the insight of what we've been talking about on the previous 6 weeks, so that we understand more clearly what our prayer is to be about. And I want to suggest that we pray for a number of things. Firstly, we need to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are not going to get out there. We are not going to do any of these things, connecting, serving, sharing, growing, helping other people to grow. We cannot do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. We were thinking last week about how we are connected to the vine. And how the power of the Holy Spirit is like the sap in the vine. The trunk is Jesus, and we're the branches, and the sap flows from Jesus into us, and it's in that that we bear fruit. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You are going to be my witnesses. You are going to go out, but don't do it before you've received the power of the Holy Spirit. And there are efforts to share the gospel that come to very little because they are done out of human effort and human strategy and not out of the working of the Spirit of God. And we need to know that and we need to understand that. We cannot dare to do this unless we are daily coming to God and saying, "Fill me, fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we can do your will." In a few days, bottom two lines here, in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus says, "I'm calling you to do this. This is what I'm wanting you to do. So I am going to equip you to do it. So just wait and seek. Ask, seek, knock," he said somewhere. "And keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, because you need the Holy Spirit." When I walk with my dog, this is a fictional dog, but when I walk with my dog, people watch and people are concerned, even sometimes perhaps even a little bit of afraid. Even when my dog is giving the neighbor's dog a piggyback. It's a bit like that. Without the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. don't think our American friends aren't here this week. What a shame. I've just made a discovery. Did you know? I'm sure some of you do know, some of you have worked in forestry and so on, so you will know this, but there is a measurement for firewood. It is a cord, C-O-R-D. You see, in places like America and Canada, where a lot of wood is burned, where it's dependent, you know, if you need to know when you're buying wood, how much wood you are buying. It's a bit like when we used to have coal. Now, those of you who are younger than about 40, I'm sorry about this, but when coal used to be delivered to our houses to burn, we used to buy it by the hundredweight. Came in bags, a particular weight. We didn't just ring up the coal man and say, can I have some coal? There was an exact weight. And so in America and Canada, they have a cord of firewood. So you order your firewood by the cord. 4 feet high by 4 feet wide by 8 feet long. So 8 feet, 4 feet, 4 feet. That is a cord of firewood. That is today's useless piece of information for you to store away until I do my next quiz. Now, once upon a time, an old timer broke his saw. His saw had served him faithfully for decades. And he'd been able, with his old saw, to cut 4 or 5 cords of wood. Let me just remind you what a cord of wood looks like. 4 or 5 cords of wood a day. So he'd broke his saw. He went into the local hardware store in the nearest town. And the salesman said, yes, you want a saw, sir? And he said, what do you want it for? He said, well, I want to be able to cut 4 or 5 cords of wood a day. That's what I do. I sell the wood. And they said, ah, well, we've got just the thing for you. So he went home with his new power saw and cut very little. And next day he went back to the hardware store and said, this is no good. How much did you say I would be able to cut with this? Oh, at least 10 cords a day, sir. He said, but I couldn't cut a quarter of a cord. You know what's coming, Ben, don't you? Yeah. And of course, the chap at the shop said, well, look, we've got some wood out back. Let's go. Let's test it just to check. If it's no good, you can have a new one. No problem. So they went out and he went, brum! You know, and the whole saw kept going and worked beautifully. And the old guy stood by and said, what did you do? Where did that power come from? He said, well, it's in the battery. All you have to do is start it. Ah. See, and that's just how we are. When we give our lives to Christ, when we invite him to be our Lord and Savior, he puts the power of the Holy Spirit in us. The question is, do we pull the cord? Do we press the switch? Do we pray the prayer? Do we receive the gift? Or do we just try to do it under our own effort? Because even with the best power saw, there's not a lot you can do by your own effort. Power saw, scriptures, the word of God. Using my effort or in the power of the Holy Spirit, which do you think is going to be most effective? We have to be connected in to the vine, to Jesus, to receive the Holy Spirit. The great spiritual writer A.W. Tozer said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop, and everybody would know the difference. That's a powerful word, and I believe a true word, which is why we need to be praying for the Holy Spirit and for the fullness of the Holy Spirit that is within us to come alive, and for him to break down all the barriers. There are all sorts of reasons we put up about not moving in the power of God's Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about the Pentecostal or charismatic art of swinging from chandeliers, doing somersaults in the aisles, and all sorts of other extraordinary and weird things. I'm talking about sensitively sharing the good news of Jesus in service and in word. It needs the Holy Spirit to direct us when to take this gift to that person sometimes, and we find it unlocks the door in a way that we could never imagine because we were being obedient to the Spirit's prompting. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit. We also need to pray for God's lost children. Who are God's lost children? Anybody not in relationship with him. Anybody not in relationship with him. Tim Harlow, in his book Life on Mission, says, when I take the time to pray, I see them, that's those who don't know Jesus, I see them the way God sees them, as a lost child that the Father can't wait to have home. Whereas somebody said, you have to take the people to God before you take God to the people. Are we praying? Are we praying our socks off? This is one of the challenges that our outreach team is currently making to our praying community team. But actually, if we're going to be doing outreach in a big way, we need to be praying for people in a big way. We need to be praying full stop in a much bigger way than we have done. And soon in the new year, we're going to be having another day of prayer. And that day of prayer is particularly going to be focused around outreach, praying for the Spirit, praying for those who do not yet know Jesus, praying for harvest workers. In Luke 10, verse 2, we're told how Jesus told his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Lord, send the workers. Now, of course, if you know the story, you know that Jesus then immediately sent his disciples out. He said, pray for workers in the harvest field, and by the way, you're the answer to your prayer. So be prepared. If you pray this prayer, you may be the answer. And one of the great things about this is that it reminds us that we need... Sorry, somebody looking for a parent. It reminds us... but we are part of the harvest work team. One church takes this very literally. Everybody with a phone or a settable watch has an alarm set for 10:02. That's Luke 10:02. But at 10:02, their watches go off, which reminds them to pray for workers in the harvest field. And oh, Lord, help me, because I'm one. It's not a bad idea. 10:02. That's another one to add to your list of alarms, Hazel. The other day I was talking to her, all of a sudden her phone went off. Oh, it's a God alarm. So, know what she meant. So, pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for those who are far away from God. Pray for harvest workers. And pray for God's will to be done. Take time to pray. Have a time. Have a place. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We must be a praying people if we're going to be a going out more people. In John 14, we read these words, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." We need to be reminded of God's will for our lives regularly. So we pray. So let's sum it up. Let's sum this whole series up. Let's pray to be witnesses to Jesus. Let's pray to connect with others. Let's pray to serve others. Let's pray to share with others. Let's pray to grow ourselves and others. Let's pray to pray. For if we're finding prayer difficult, the best thing we can do is to pray, "Lord, teach me to pray." So let's pray to get out more. We're going to sing together, and then we're going to pray, and then we'll sing a closing song. If you go to Chicago, one of the oldest buildings standing there, and nothing from before, what was the date? What's the date of the Great Fire of Chicago? 1860-something, when the whole city burnt down. But one of the oldest buildings still there is the main building of the Moody Bible College. Moody was the Billy Graham of his day. An evangelist who went all over the world before there were aeroplanes and things, but he did great missions all over the world. And many, many people came to Christ. But one of the things he started to do early in his Christian life was to pray for friends. And he maintained a list of 100, isn't it nice to have 100 friends? Anyway, he maintained a list of 100 people. And he decided he would pray for each one regularly until they turned to Jesus, until they received his love and peace and life for themselves. He kept this up to his dying day, and when he died, there were 3 names still on the list that had not got lines through. If there were lines through, they'd crossed the line, if you like. They had become followers of Jesus. And at his funeral, those 3 men, all men of great significance in their own particular fields, each gave their lives to Jesus. We are called to be people who will pray and pray and pray. Now, at the end of the service, as usual, there will be the opportunity, if people want to come forward and sit at the front here, if they've got any particular need for prayer and would love somebody to pray for them, then please do that. But I want to do something just slightly different now. And if you're a visitor today, don't feel that don't be embarrassed by this. If you just want to stay as you are, sat there, I quite understand. This is really something, as we come to the end of this theme that we've been following here at Whitley Bay Baptist Church, and before we go into our Outreach 2015 programmes. But I'm calling you to pray today as you have never prayed before, that those you know who don't know yet Jesus will come to know Jesus, and that you will be willing to take your part in doing what you can do to achieve that end, understanding that Jesus himself is praying for you, that your life may be such that others will come to know Jesus. And I'm just going to ask once, so with no pressure. Well, yeah, all right. I'm not going to pile it on. If you are willing to stand with me and say, yes, if we're going to get out more, we must pray more. I just want to ask you to stand with me now, and I will pray with you. Thank you. Lord, this is a holy moment. We're covenanting with you that we will pray and pray and pray as we seek to be witnesses, to connect, to serve, to share, to grow, and to pray. And our prayer this morning is, oh, that we may know the fullness of the Holy Spirit to equip us in this effort. We don't want to impose our faith, our way of life on anybody. We're not about trying to recruit people to be pew fodder for the church. It's just that we want people to have that living, saving relationship with you, Lord Jesus. That they may have that confidence and that peace and that love and know your mercy that comes from the cross and streams out to all who will put their faith in you. So, Lord, hear our prayer, teach us to pray, and keep us faithful in prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's praise God as we sing, Bless the Lord, O my soul.